JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
It's Snaps, presented by FanDuel. Football season is here, and there's no better place to get in on that action than FanDuel. But why, T-Bob? Why? Well, let me tell you, okay? First off, the app is safe, secure, it's easy to use, okay? FanDuel always has these great exclusive offers where you can get juice, win a little more. When you win, you'll get paid fast, no waiting, no BS. And they got a ton of ways to play, man. Spread, money line, over, unders, totals, props, same game parlays, everything. Live betting. If you get to the show late, it doesn't matter. Just live bet it. They also have the teasingly vague same game parlay plus. I don't think it's a streaming service, but there's only one way to find out. It's by downloading the FanDuel Sportsbook app today, promo code SNAPS, and make every moment more this football season.
Must be 21 and present in select states only. Gambling problem? 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. Arizona, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Indiana, Minneapolis, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Virginia. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Indiana, 1-877-770-STOP. In Louisiana, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. New York, Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Tennessee, 1-800-522-4700. Wyoming, or visit www.1800gambler.net. West Virginia.
Look at this sad motherfucker right here. He's all upset because his Bulldogs didn't cover against the Flashes.
I miss you tonight, buddy. It's good to have you in.
Yeah. The harsh glare of the Flash done exposed the pale skin of the UGA Bulldogs. I'm sure that's all anybody's talking about tonight. What's going on, Aaron Murray? What's up, dude?
I'm glad you feel great about that win versus New Mexico, T-Bob. Oh, and everyone in the chat.
Aaron, have you checked the box score there, bud? Because guess what? We outgained him 600-80. 80 total yards, you son of a bitch. LSU kicked New Mexico's ass tonight. You know what else we did? We covered, which I can't talk shit, Aaron, because your bets are fire. Your bets are on fire right now. My bets are complete shit. Fucking Oregon broke my heart tonight. What's up, dude? How you doing, man?
Yeah, what about USC? I think just gave up a touchdown to Oregon State. So
God damn it, dude. It never fucking fails, dude. You got to fade the... No. I'm not losing faith here on Snaps. You do not have to fade the public. We are the public, okay? Do not worry. Talent will win out in the end, okay? USC is going to cover. How much time is left there?
They're not going to cover. They better hope they freaking win at this point.
How much time is left?
There's 4 minutes to go. I'm going to pull up your sketchy ass link you sent me, okay, which is going to spam the crap out of my computer.
That sounds like we may not cover. My link I sent you is sketchy, and yes, it feels like Kazaa or any of these other awful things that you used to LimeWire, any of these other awful things we used to download. That is completely fair, but it's kind of on the Pac-12 network. It's a little hard to find.
Oregon State's defense tonight has just bundled up Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, 11 of 28 for 123 right now. But, listen, USC's defense is doing their thing. They got 3 interceptions. It's not the defense's fault. We were worried about the defense for Oregon State. Caleb Williams has just been
the greatest of all.
For those who are watching the game, has been off this entire game. Ball's behind, ball's late. Just does not look like his kind of night. So I think they could win it, but they ain't covering T-Bob, unfortunately. So not good for us. Not good for us.
14-10. It's not good for us, Aaron. But I will say this. You never know what fate may hold for you tonight, right? Perfect example. It looked like Oregon was completely lost earlier. They get a pick 6 with a minute left. It looks like they completely won. Guess what? 50-yard touchdown later, they lost, okay? We may have a little luck left in our future. By the way, Aaron, I watched Andor, and spoiler-free review, it's awesome. I love it. It has the potential to be some of the best Star Wars. It's a little slow, but if you're like me, every fucking minute I was locked in. It's like noir. It's like Star Wars noir, and I think it's incredible. Okay, so what have we talked about? Brum, where do we want to start here? What are we talking about? I'm coming to this thing hot, boys, in case you can't tell. It's very much Snaps After Dark. I literally just left an LSU postgame show where we celebrated those putrid opponents known as the Lobos. Unlike UGA, we got to dance on the graves of our enemies tonight. What's going on? Where are we starting here?
Where are we at? Where are we at right now, Brom? Aggies.
I think we do Tennessee, Florida. Let's do full Tennessee, Florida right now.
All right. Let's dive in then, dude. So I had an interesting experience earlier with Tennessee, Florida, where, as we said the other day, right, if not now, when for Tennessee. Like, hey, win the game, Tennessee. You're double-digit favorites. You're at home. Everybody loves you. You have the better offense. Anthony Richardson can't pass for shit. And so, all of a sudden, Tennessee goes up by 17. I'm like, oh, I'm good. The LSU game's about to start. My wife's calling me, kid's sick. I'm like, all right, I'll go grab some Pedialyte and whatever. I'll be back in the store. We'll go watch the LSU game. I got to do work. We'll be fine, whatever. And then I get to the bar, and Aaron, what the hell? Florida's catching an onside kick. They're running back to the 30. They almost score. What went wrong with Tennessee at the end here? And is it a red flag going forward?
No, I think Tennessee's fine. I think they kind of let off the brake a little bit, start getting a little conservative towards the end there. They look good tonight. I tell you what,
they look good.
One, Anthony Richardson looked good. I think I hit on that with some of the folks earlier today. Like, he's still that dude, man. He can still sling it with the best of them. And for Tennessee to win that game without, I would say, probably their best player, second best player. I think Hendon's their best player. Yep. Whether it's second best player in Cedric Tillman, that's a big statement win, man, for being dominated in this series for as long as they have. I think right now they beat Pitt, which was a great win a couple weeks ago, and then you beat Florida at home, and now you get a little bit of a break before you obviously have to go on the road versus LSU and then play Alabama afterwards. Like, those are two big games. I'm very impressed with your Tigers. I will applaud you. That's a hell of a win tonight, and you guys have seemed to have turned the tide since, you know, not trying to say tide, like you've turned it around since that loss to Florida State, who ends up being a good team too. So that loss isn't that bad. But I think if they could split those two games, I feel really good about Tennessee going forward being a 10-win team. Because you look at the rest of their schedule, UT, Martin, Wynn, they're better than Kentucky. They'll lose to Georgia, hopefully. They'll beat Missouri. They'll beat South Carolina. They'll beat Vandy. So, I mean, all of a sudden, you're talking about a – I think, like, the worst Tennessee is going to be this year is 9-3. And I think they could be 10-2.
Okay, I mean, yes, it does – it checks out now. Well, and honestly, man, I mean, they should be. Hendon Hooker looks like okay, Aaron, you rank quarterbacks every week. If you were to rank the SEC quarterbacks right now, where would you put Hendon Hooker?
Oh, man, I'd put Hendon at one. I think we talk about Heismans. I know it's so early to talk about Heismans. Oh, does he get it? Oh, he got it. Sorry, I'm watching the USC game right now, too.
You're watching men's streams? Dude, I can't play it because I tried to play it, and because it's like an illegal stream site, I couldn't figure out how to mute the volume.
Waiting for the cops to show up.
So I couldn't keep
it
going.
I'm still waiting.
No, we're good.
Caleb extended the drive. He got stopped 1 yard short of 4th and 6. Then one of his big, fat, ugly guys on offense pushed him forward for the first down. So we'll see, man. Still hope alive to cover the 5.5 for USC. How I would rank the SEC quarterbacks right now, I go Hendon one. I think Hendon's special. I think Hendon is going to continue to work his way into the Heisman conversation because he's going to put up stupid stats. He runs the ball effectively. He's going to get some rushing touchdowns throughout the season. He's one. Bryce two. KJ three. Stetson's four.
Max?
He's off like the top of my head right now.
Max?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to be a top five, but we'll talk about Max.
Will Rogers, maybe Will Rogers five, I would say.
Yeah, Mississippi State look good. Okay, here's what I would say is that I think that Tennessee is right now with Kentucky the lead dog for third best team in the SEC. I think that you better be able to keep up with Tennessee. Or you're going to be in trouble, right? Like, if you start kicking field goals, Tennessee is going to punish you. Now, the fact that Anthony Richardson, a quarterback that has not thrown the ball for shit, threw for 450 tonight, that's a problem, okay? Yeah. And by the way, I love Florida. I ain't worried about Florida. Not long term. Like, I mean, whatever. If you had expectations for Florida this year, I don't know what to tell you. That's on you, okay? But when I see Billy Napier's kind of balls-to-the-wall attitude, and I think about AR for a couple more years, like I think Florida's going to be just fine, right? Yeah. So Florida's going to be fine. But Tennessee, this year, they're pretty sexy. And all I know, and as far as Florida goes, just too many mistakes, right? I'm shocked. I mean, I had this all, like my thoughts on Florida were already written before they had that incredible kind of final push, right? So I feel even more strong about them now. But as far as Tennessee goes, this is your year, man. You've been waiting for this for a decade and a half. You have slumbered. And now, like the meme of the guy in the orange suit that pops out of the coffin on the flatbed, like, yeah, like Tennessee is back alive, dude. So let's see what you do with it. Okay, let's see what you do with it because you've been given a little bit of hope. And all of that darkness that you've had to walk around in for the past 15 years, where Florida shit on you for 15 years in a row, and Georgia did, and Alabama still has. What are you going to do with it, Tennessee? Let's see what you're made of, okay? Because your boys on the diamond, the baseball diamond, they're pretty fucking good. But they kind of disappointed you in the end. Maybe Hooker and Heupel can come through for you. I'm not so sure.
Hey.
We're going to find out, though.
Death Valley in two weeks.
It's going to be tight. Yep, sorry, go ahead.
Is Tennessee good enough to make it competitive in Athens?
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLabs joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I feel like the reactionary thing would be like, I mean, yeah, did you see Kent State today? But I know Georgia didn't give a damn about Kent State. And when I look at Tennessee, I see nothing on that defense that is going to be able to stop our number one boys, Dequavius, okay? So, no, I don't think so. I think that Hendon Hooker will make it, well, and, you know, Hooker and by extension the rest of the offense will make it exciting for a time, but no. In the end, Georgia will pull away in that game. Yeah. But that's fine. That's really not what Tennessee needs to be judging themselves by. They need to go beat LSU in Death Valley. They need to go, like you said, win 10 games. Tennessee is taking steps right now. And the next step is not to beat Dequavius in Georgia. The next step is to be, no. We are the third best team in the SEC. We're going to the Capital One Bowl. Or nowadays, it's, you know, probably the Sugar Bowl. But, you know, hey, you don't get to go to theme parks if you go to the Sugar Bowl. This is the truth. You go to Rick's Cabaret, but not Universal, okay? I mean, that's up to you to decide which you would rather go to. Look, I feel good. I feel good about Tennessee after today. They did it. They pleased the home crowd. I actually still feel good about Florida long term. Maybe not as much this year.
No! USC!
How much time's left, dude? Tell me we got a chance. We need like a pick
six. All
right,
we got what we need. We need a pick six. We need a pick six. So USC is about to go up 17-14. They already have three picks today.
This is going to make an amazing podcast, by the way.
If there is
I know. What are you going to do, bro?
I'm just messing with you guys.
We got everything riding on the USC. Dude, I got a great
T-Bob's my bookie. I got a great three-team parlay right now. I got two down, one to go. But
Aaron's been on fire.
My under for the Auburn Missouri game, which I bet my mortgage on, hit big time. So I'm very happy about
you
that.
You made the whole team money. Aaron, let's be clear. Aaron made the whole Snaps team money with the Auburn.
I should have made everyone listening to Snaps money on that one. That was the easiest money you could have asked for.
That's what I'm saying. You told everyone, and we all rode with you, and we all won. I'm having like a 500 day today, but I'm having an 0-2 best bet state today. Horrible beat in the Oregon game. I fucking need SC to somehow manage to pull this out. Please, for the love of God, Trojans, let's get a pick six or something going on here.
Dude, I'm with you too. I would love a nice pick six. I'll go buy a new damn iPhone.
Yeah, well, and Aaron does have a nice little parlay playoff payoff if USC will hit this.
Yeah, I'm 2-1 again though this week. I'm just like the 2-1
king.
Yeah, bro,
no, Aaron, your bets are on fire. That's what I want to be clear about. That's another reason why I don't want to go 0-3 this week, is because you've been uber consistent. I mean, this will push you to 8-5. I mean, it's beautiful every single week.
8-4.
Oh, my bad. Excuse me. 8-4. Exactly. 2-1 every week. Yeah.
Yep.
Math check. Yeah. All right. Okay. So let's talk then about.
Wait, I want to get your thoughts on this. Yeah. Brum asked me this earlier. Sticking on the Auburn theme for a quick second. Do you think Harsin would have been fired if they lost that football game? Would we have seen a reenactment of what happened at Arizona State?
No, you would not have seen a walk off the field hiring. But either internally, it would have leaked. It would have leaked. But yes, they would have fired him behind the scenes, and we would have heard they were going through a coaching search. I cannot say, like maybe Harsin would do a finish out the season thing. Maybe he would not. But yeah, if you had lost to Missouri at home today, I feel very comfortable in saying that Brian Harsin would have been fired.
See, I think it would have cemented him being fired at the end of the year.
See, I think it's already cemented though. I think this.
No, I do too. I think it's done. But I think the issue is right now, like, who's going to take over? Like, there's no one on that staff that can take over and be a head coach for the remainder of the season. That's the problem.
Kevin Steele's not there anymore. Where's Kevin Steele now?
Kevin Steele would not there. Bobo's not there. Derek May, like. They're all a bunch of assistants that came with him from Boise State. So that's the only thing that's keeping him alive from being a head coach the rest of the year, is the fact that who the hell is going to take over. But no, there's no doubt in my mind right now, when you look at this football team and they know it, they know their head coach is going to get fired. They know the season's about to get really, really ugly. And they're just not good, man. They're just not
a
good football team. So, I mean, they got LSU next, Georgia, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Western Kentucky, and then at Alabama. So, that 3-1 record for Auburn right now is going to be, you know, about 5-7 by the end of the year. If they look the way they've looked this year.
Talk about Brian surviving.
Oh, we almost had a pick six.
No! Fuck you, Aaron. Don't tell me. I can't keep meth streams on this chat right now because I can't keep the sound off it. No. Oh. I was on a I can't.
If the DN didn't tip it, the dude would have picked it off and taken it back for a pick six. Come on.
All right, it's all good. It's
Come
all good.
On, USC.
USC cover's still in play somehow. It's going to happen, dude. Look, the bottom line is that Brian survived by what, Aaron? He survived by the hair on his Harsini sin, okay? But guess what? You know, I'm a believer, okay? Sin gets defeated by Jesus. Next week, Jesus comes to town in the form of Brian Kelly. And Brian Harsin is done. Done. Get him out of here, dude. He should have been done this week. Mizzou's really portly kicker, which I appreciate. I'm not body shaming here. It did look like his leg kind of struggled on the follow through. But Mizzou's portly kicker missed a game winning extra point. It's not an extra point, but you get it, right? Super easy field goal. And then I've never seen anything like Mizzou reaching into the end zone and fumbling out of the back. It is the epitome of Auburn chaos.
No!
Auburn is a chaos agent. No. What happened? Auburn is a chaos agent. That always happened. And the point is that Brian Harsin got lucky. He barely survived. And next week, the same way in which Gus Malzahn once landed a fatal blow against Les Miles in the SEC Thunderdome, a game featuring Danny Etling and others, LSU will return the favor and kill the former Boise State head man. What happened to him?
They picked it off, but he fell down when he caught it. Game over. Oh, man.
Vegas, dude. I mean,
fuck. All right, but I will say this. There was a game in which that happened. It was actually, I was a part of the game, 2013. Overtime, Tennessee, running back goes to reach the ball over the line, fumbles it out of the end zone. We win the game versus Tennessee. So I have
it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling.
Especially in Neyland.
Okay.
USC won. USC survived.
But they didn't come.
So our Trojan boys are still alive. So that's a good news.
I mean, it's kind of good news, Aaron. But honestly, it's not good news. Okay, let's be honest here, dude. We knew what we needed to happen.
Where'd you go?
We were the public. We represented the public. We went to battle with the establishment, right? For the small man, the sharps were all betting USC. We told you all week the sharps were all over USC. And we represented the people, the fine people here listening to Snaps. And it didn't work out. And whatever. I guess you're right. Like at the end of the day, USC won. They're still relevant. That's brutal. All right. Let's get to Texas A&M. Texas A&M wins 23-21 over Arkansas in Arlington. And an insane game, Aaron, in that at first it looked like Arkansas was going to absolutely roll. And then KJ Jefferson decides to leap from the four, fumble, lateral, touchdown A&M. And then Arkansas forgets how to score. They finally get it back at the end. Arkansas kicker misses a game-winning kick. Aaron, when you leave this game, where's your head at with the Texas A&M Aggies?
That's a hell of a win. That is a hell of a win because Arkansas is a really good football team. So I think I'm a lot more obviously bullish about A&M going forward than I was. And a big reason is, they have a quarterback. And it's not like Max threw in this incredible game, but he was efficient. He opened up the passing game for them. He allowed A-Chain to go off and run. I mean, when you go against A&M and Haynes King's a quarterback, you load the box. You say, okay, we dare you to throw the ball. And now all of a sudden, Max is in there. You have to respect the passing game a little more. And shoot, Max can run too, man. He's been killing it running these past few weeks or past 2 weeks. So I think this offense, why it's still somewhat in the Stone Age with how Jimbo's calling it, is going to be more efficient with Max at the helm. You saw that tonight. The defense is damn good. And that's a huge victory for them, man. Because once again, Arkansas has one weakness. It's their DBs. That's it. Other than that, I still think Arkansas is a very good football team in this league. They will lose more games down the stretch because they got to face teams that have good passing attacks. So that worries me a little bit. But for A&M to kind of, beat Miami, which obviously looks like not a very good win after today's loss to God, Middle Tennessee.
Nine-yard touchdown was tight though with Middle Tennessee with the guy. He had sprinter's dive as he crossed the fucking goal line. I love that, dude.
Oh man. It was a great win. A&M is they're back. The excitement's back. The juice is back. Jimbo's feeling good. Did you see the picture of his son after the game though with him? Jimbo's son?
I did not. But if Jimbo's son is who I'm thinking of, it's someone who I have maybe judged in the past from just seeing pictures, and I recognize that is wrong and that is mean, and so I'm not going to go too hard on this because I don't know exactly what you're referencing. But I'm guessing it's a picture.
It would be something you would judge.
It's a picture where his son maybe looks like someone who grew up the son of a multimillionaire and is maybe looking not as blue collar as you would maybe want out of your football coach. Is that accurate?
Is this picture? I forgot who posted it.
The point
he's wearing like a big chain, of course.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Such is life now. Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say on AM is that it's what I've been saying all year. Max makes them demonstrably better. The offense is still inherently flawed. Like, eventually this offseason, Jimbo's going to have a real come to Jesus talk with himself. Where A&M continues to make up for it is the exact thing that everybody said before the season. They just have talent. And by talent, I mean athletes. Like, they just have guys that are big as fuck, strong as fuck, and fast as fuck. And you saw that with A-Chain. When A-Chain would touch the ball tonight, he looked like he had a different gear a lot of times than the rest of the guys on that field. And although A&M is not good, they are able to find these crazy breakthrough moments, as evidenced by KJ trying to jump over the top from the 4-yard line, fumble, but then the handoff on the fumble. That's a wild card move. That's an ill-advised move, but that's also a very natural, instinctive, and athletic move. And it leads to a 95-yard scoop and score, which ends up being the difference of the game. So what A&M is this year is nothing great, but it is something dangerous. Yes. Like, they're not going to threaten the best teams, but they are a hard out. And certainly that is very disappointing.
Where would you put them right now? Where would you put them in the West right now? Who's the second best team in the SEC West?
It's feeling like I didn't see much of the Ole Miss game today. But a lot of the analytics and everything are pointing towards Ole Miss. I find that hard to believe. So I would approach that with a degree of skepticism. After that,
I mean, it's
a fair point. I see what you're saying.
Let's eliminate some right now. So, you know, Auburn, no.
Yeah,
LSU, no.
I would say Mississippi.
They beat Arkansas. So the question is A&M better right now than Ole Miss and Mississippi State?
I think Ole Miss is better than Mississippi State. From what we've seen, yeah. So are we saying it's between Ole Miss then and Texas A&M?
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't know. I still like Mississippi
LSU
State.
LSU has a little bit to say in this.
I'm still a believer in Mississippi State.
That's a bit ironic, right? Because if LSU is an automatic out, they kind of handled State. But then we get into the law of transitive sports properties and how much does that actually matter. It's very slippery. So it's a fair point. And the West remains like just a week-to-week volatile mix, right? Like, we thought last week A&M was going 6-6, second to last in the West, and now in this 5 minutes of conversation, we've just landed on A&M being the second best team in the West.
If you're saying that, I'm not saying that.
I thought that's what you just said. What are you saying then? So who's second best in the West?
No one said that.
So who's second best in the West?
I just clearly said I think Mississippi State's better than them.
So you think Mississippi State's second best in the West? But then what about LSU?
I think Mississippi State's the second best team in the West still. I do. I know they lost LSU. I get it. But I think at the end of the day, they have more than everyone. They have less weaknesses than everyone else.
Wow. It's a bold claim.
I can't judge Ole Miss yet. I can't. They played Troy, Central Arkansas, Georgia Tech. And they played a really close game against Tulsa today. Like, who have they played? So they play Kentucky next week. They get them at home. I think after that, we can start assessing, okay, where is Ole Miss? How good is Ole Miss? There, I think Ole Miss is the big wild card because I think they got talent. I love their quarter. I love their offense. I like their quarterback. I like their receivers. I like their line. I think they have the potential to be very good on defense. But, like, we just have no clue until they start playing legitimate competition. So I think after next week, once again, the flexibility of the West is going to be even more flexible after we kind of assess what Ole Miss looks like.
I agree. There is still massive movement potential. And so any calls now in terms of ranking, it's interesting conversation, but like, honestly, everything and everything will blow up. TB, how quickly
anyone could be anyone in the West.
Yes, exactly. Right now, that's how yeah, Auburn's garbage, dude. LSU's going to spank Auburn bad. And Jordan Hare next week. TB, how quickly we all forget about App State, but that's the point though, right? Haynes King was the quarterback in App State. Max Johnson, like the main point of all of this is that Max Johnson's added a bit of a unknown boost to A&M, or a boost, but we just don't know how high it goes. Oklahoma losers to Kansas State, who again, through the law of transitive sports properties, lost to Tulane last week. Who did Tulane end up losing to Southern Miss today? They did. Tulane lost 27-24 to Southern Miss. Beat Kansas State 17-10 last week. Kansas State now turns around and beats Oklahoma. What was the final score? 31-24? It's unreal, dude. College football is just an absolute wild game week to week. What did you think about Dillon Gabriel, Venables, and OU falling here to the Wildcats?
Well, make sure those who are tuning in now go watch the beginning of the show. We had former All-American safety Roy Williams on with us breaking down the game. Oh, he had some tremendous insight. Yeah, T-Bob. So make sure you go watch it tomorrow morning. He was great. Jumped on with us for a while, broke it down. You know, I thought Dillon played okay. He missed a bunch of opportunities. If you just, you know, if you're someone that just woke up and looked at the stat line, you're like, oh, he was 26-39, 330, four touchdowns, 61 yards rushing. Like, that's a hell of a day. He missed a lot, though. He missed some opportunities, and you're not going to hit everything. So I will say that, like, you're going to miss shots. You're going to miss wide open receivers. It's the nature of the game. No one's perfect. But he was a little bit off at times today. I would say the bigger issue is more the defense. The defense, we thought with Venables, was going to be terrific because we believe they have talent on that side. Yeah. And it didn't show up today. And then we have to remind ourselves, it's only the fourth game. They're still learning the system, this, that, and the other. And once again, go listen to Roy Williams from earlier if you're now just tuning in, and you'll kind of get his thoughts on that whole process. But, you know, I thought Adrian Martinez really took into, you know, what he's learned for the past, you know, 10 years of playing college football, and he put it into tonight's game. He looked really good, man. And that little Deuce Vaughn at freaking 5'5" was just
Deuce is a beast.
An absolute terror, too. So, you know,
but that's where it's weird though, dude. Tulane holds Deuce Vaughn to 80 yards last week, and they win 17-10 in Lel Manhattan. And then what? And then Kansas State's gonna go into Oklahoma and win 41-34. It's fascinating. It's honestly why I love college football so much, and it's because like, we could sit here and talk about how SC is a guarantee, SC cover. Of course they are, right? Oregon State, all things. And then of course, Vegas has it right, and they end up losing. And the thing on Oklahoma is, it's not to say that Venables or Oklahoma isn't good, but the question on Oklahoma was, are they contenders, right? Like, are they how we have thought of Oklahoma recently, which is a consistent every single year playoff team? And this game would point towards then no, maybe there is a little bit of a rebuild that needs to take place. And I think if you're an Oklahoma fan, now I don't want to offend anybody in Norman, okay? I'm for Baton Rouge. I don't think Baton Rouge is that tight, like from like a city sort of standpoint, right? I'm not going to tell you it's like a ton to do around here. But if I was in Norman, Oklahoma, I would be worried about maybe going the route of a Lincoln, Nebraska, potentially. If the winning and, you know, the extreme winning, the top five every year, if that didn't keep pace, like there's just an idea out there that how attractive a place it. We'll see. I don't overspeak. But the point is, this feels like a big hit to an Oklahoma team that was desperate to prove that even though we switched coaches and even though Lincoln Riley went out west and he's having all this success, that it wasn't about him. It was about us and the powers in the soil. Well, if the power's not in the soil, then you may be in a little bit of trouble. We'll see. Fight on to everybody in chat, putting that in there.
Trojan boys still alive. The Trojan boys are still alive.
We still are. I'm not going to lie. This one hurts. I feel like a sucker. I felt like a sucker the entire time doing the pick. And sometimes you are what you
it's just
think
money,
you
T,
are.
Bob. It's just money. It's okay.
I'm not no. That's the thing. I'm not upset about the money. I'm upset about the pride. I'm upset about the pride, right? Because I want our best bets to be good, and your best bets have been good. So speaking for myself, I knew I didn't like this board, and I went with my heart in a lot of this, and it ended up well, it didn't end up paying any dividends. It ended up losing dividends. So it's all good. It's all good. We're going to bounce back. We're going to get in the lab. It's a one snap and clear business, right? It's a football golden rule. I don't care what you did last play. I don't care if you did some good or bad. Okay, one snap and clear. What are you going to do the next play? And so in the same way, we're going to lock back in. We're going to get ready for a little Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday snaps. 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central. We're going to give you our best bets on Friday, okay? We're going to have a lot of fun along the way, folks, okay? And we want you to subscribe to the pod. We want you to sign up for the FanDuel Sportsbook and use the promo code SNAPS. We want you to subscribe to the Volume Sports YouTube channel and like it. And we want you to tell all of your friends about the show because we're going to be here, okay? We're not going to be defeated by one poor week. Again, I'm talking about myself. And we will see you on Monday. Aaron Murray, you have a great night, my friend.
See you, brother. See y'all.
Brum, you have a great night as well. Our excellent producer, Ryan Brumley. And to all of our wonderful listeners, we love y'all. And we'll see you Monday afternoon on a brand new edition of Snaps.
Volume.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.